Welcome to A Girl's Eye View, where women share their personal experiences navigating the world of flight training and beyond. We're offering a fresh perspective on aviation with plenty of laughs, real talk, and the occasional, I can't believe I did that moment. Tune in for a fun, honest look at aviation from our point of view. I'm your host, Pam, with my co-hosts Rachel and Jen. Now, let's look at things from a girl's eye view. Welcome back to this episode of A Girl's Eye View. Today we're talking about what to do when you and your CFI don't see eye to eye. I think as women in flight training, we can say that we've heard a lot of women talk about how uncomfortable the situation can be. But this, of course, applies to anyone in aviation.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe we could talk about what are some things that might make you uncomfortable, and then we can come up with some ideas on what you can do to either remedy the situation or change it completely.
Well, I want to start, I guess, by saying that it's important to acknowledge that you are in a high-stress situation. Someone's reaction in the plane may not necessarily be their reaction were you standing on the ground having like a normal face-to-face conversation. That being said, you should not have to put up with any crap. So if it's a situation that where you don't like what they're saying or what they're doing, or it's making you feel uncomfortable, and it's outside of a safety concern, or like you didn't do the maneuver right, like, oh, he's being mean to me, that doesn't really count. Okay, it does sort of count, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's feedback. And just because
right.
you don't like the feedback doesn't mean that it isn't warranted.
Right. Not like bullying. If it's them giving you legit feedback, that is legit feedback. So
what are some situations that you would be able to identify where you would say this needs to change?
I think one of the safety is obviously a big concern. And this can be so nuanced because your personal minimums are going to be different than your instructor's personal minimums. But if you're ever in a situation where you feel unsafe and like the instructor is maybe not in as much control as they should be, or where you know for a fact that they're doing something that is either against the FARs or that, which are the Federal Aviation Regulations, or operating outside of the airplanes or aircraft, whatever you're in, operating standards and all that stuff, that's a valid concern and a valid reason to step back or go to the chief flight instructor or the owner and say, hey, this is the thing that happened. But I also think this is an industry where when something happens, we all hear about it, whether it's posted on social media or you come across it because you get the aviation news brief or the NTSB reports, whatever the case may be. If something happens, we all know about it. The most recent that I can think of, correct me if I'm wrong, instance where a situation with the CFI did not go well was a CFI who this person had not flown with regularly. He was stepping in. They were doing a night cross country. The CFI was Snapchatting the entire flight. And ultimately, they flew into severe weather and they both did not survive. Now, that's an extreme case, but this is why it's really important to speak up if you're not comfortable. Whatever it is. So it can be as small as they didn't do as thorough a pre-flight as you like, which sounds crazy, but that whole process is there to make sure you're going to be safe. So anybody who flouts any kind of safety thing, you're allowed to say, no, I don't want to do that.
I just looked it up, Rachel. I think it was Kentucky.
Yeah.
Thunderstorm from either side, I think.
Yeah.
I saw the picture of it.
And there's a lot of other things that we can say about that. But for the point of this particular conversation, just to say that safety should always be your number one concern. Yes, things happen. Some of these airplanes are really old. Sometimes things just break. It is what it is. You want someone who is as concerned for your safety as you are. And if that ever feels off, it warrants a conversation. And whether or not you continue to fly with that instructor, you know, obviously do what you feel works best for you once you have that conversation. But it's definitely worth saying, hey, what the heck was that? Why did we do this? What happened? And then go from there.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, you've said many times this phrase, you know, you're shoulder to shoulder with somebody else.
No, literally.
A tiny plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
One thing you might not realize if you aren't in flight training is that, yeah, the
the planes aren't very big. It's not exactly like sitting in a car. You're much closer. Your seats actually touch. And so it is possible that.
I have more room in my 04 Golf than I
Yeah.
did in the airplane.
You're a little golf. Yeah.
Little Henry.
And some of our flight instructors might be larger people, or some of our students might be larger people. There's something that you need to keep in mind is that you're quite literally going to be touching each other in the plane. If that makes you uncomfortable, you need to have a open conversation. Don't make it weird. Just because somebody touches you in the plane doesn't mean they're trying to, doesn't mean they're hitting on you. I've seen a lot of women can be uncomfortable with that for really good reasons.
Yes, 100%. And that's not to negate it, right? But
It's not,
like,
no, it's not negating the feeling. It's saying if you feel that way, have a conversation. Don't immediately run to somebody else, the head CFI or something, and say, I feel uncomfortable, because that raises all sorts of alarms, as it should. But you might be with an instructor who has no idea that you feel uncomfortable. And so, as the student, take your power and use it. Use your
Definitely.
voice. I'm uncomfortable with that. Why are you touching me? Are they touching you because they're trying to check if the mags are on? Because you didn't? Is there something that they need to reach over? Are they trying to help you with your seatbelt? I've had that many times in these old planes. The seatbelts get stuck and the instructor's like, just move, move. And I will try to, pull it up, and we're trying to rearrange the seats and move back, and the chair rail is, But if you feel uncomfortable, use your
Speak up.
voice, and that can eliminate the discomfort. And then they've learned a lesson. Never thought about it. I probably should have. But you've also empowered yourself to say, your instructor might be a woman, by the way. That makes you feel uncomfortable. So if something is happening that you don't like, use your voice and talk about it.
Yeah. We had at my flight school in Atlanta, in the Atlanta area, we had a girl who was a commercial pilot, so she did some of the Discovery flights, and she liked to fly the Pipers, which have a fuel selector on the left side of the airplane. Now she, as the commercial pilot, was sitting on the right side of the airplane. So when she was doing Discovery flights, where people in theory have never been in a small aircraft, don't necessarily know that they have to like switch tanks and such in those particular airplanes, she would let them know, "I'm going to reach across your lap because I need to get to that lever." And I think that was a really, really good practice that she had. So it was a conversation that she would mention it on the ground. They'd get in the airplane. She'd be like, "This is what I was talking about. This is what I need to do. Just as a heads up, this is what I'm." And though you can ask, but it's good to have that conversation to set a boundary and establish that you might be in somebody's bubble more than you already are. Because like when we say like, you're right next, like shoulder to shoulder, you're literally like sweating on each other. Like I'm not even exaggerating. It's just you're all up. Yeah. It's
Right.
especially in the summer. And like I learned in New Orleans and Atlanta, so like it gets so hot in there. But yeah, there's no, you're allowed to have your personal space to an extent, but also like you're in a lawnmower with wings. You don't really have the luxury of a big bubble up there. So.
Right. We also, all three of us, were at a really nice event in the Boston area for Girls in Aviation Day. And I don't know if either of you were present when I was talking to another volunteer who's an airline pilot for a larger airline, and what she was saying about her daughter's flight training.
Oh,
Do you remember this
yeah.
conversation? This was a
Yes.
huge deal once I heard it. And yeah, once you hear these one story, you're going to notice you'll hear more and more stories like that. So if anyone is unaware, flight instructors, a huge percentage of them are flight instructors because they're trying to amass enough flight hours so that they qualify for certain jobs. The airlines require a minimum number of hours, and one way that they can get that is through flight instruction. This particular pilot at Girls in Aviation Day told us a story about her daughter who was in flight training. She was asking her daughter about what she was learning in her flight lessons. She had taken several, and she ended up accompanying her daughter on a flight lesson, and the instructor she was with didn't know that the mother, or the person talking to us, was working for the airlines. She was flying for the airlines. And she said she deliberately did not bring it up because she wanted to see why her daughter wasn't doing certain maneuvers. She said they weren't even leaving the traffic pattern. which is she kept using very basic terms like, so will we ever be leaving the area of the airport? You know, why are we doing this? And she wasn't using any aviation vocabulary. And eventually she saw enough of her daughter's performance and saw enough of what the instructor was saying that once they got on the ground, she said, I know what you're doing. You're just building time with my daughter, and she's just paying you all this money so you can get your hours. So you better take her out to the practice area and start teaching her some real stuff, or else I'm going to blackball you from the airlines. And I know a lot of people, and you really don't want that. That is a very scary
Yes.
story. If you
Yes.
feel like your instructor isn't helping you grow, and not because you can't nail the maneuvers, but if they're not trying to push you to expand your knowledge and build your skills, that's a huge deal that you need to be aware of, and you need to say something.
Yeah. But in that same vein, and this is something that we've talked about in terms of like how much we want to talk about this, hours in general. Just because you're at 40 hours and have it soloed does not always mean that your flight school or your instructor is milking you to get to their hours or to get more money. Because I can't tell you how many times I see it on all of the different Facebook groups. Somebody will come on and they'll say, I'm at, 45 hours and I've done XYZ and my instructor hasn't said anything about a solo. And without fail, the first four comments are something like, immediately leave, find a new flight school, find a new instructor. They're just milking you for all you're worth. That, no. Does that happen? Yes. As Pam just outlined, it does happen. However, just because you are not doing it in the amount of time that you said that you were going to do it or tried to do it does not mean that that is the case. Because ultimately, the school and your instructor are responsible for getting you to a point where you can safely operate the airplane. If they have any doubts about your abilities, they are not going to let you solo, and they're going to work with you on those skills. It doesn't mean that they're trying to get money from you.
That's a really good point, and one that it's well taken. It might feel awkward to address something that you dislike or that you don't understand with your instructor, right?
Make waves as a woman? What?
What? Speak
Who would
up,
have thunk?
right? Or a lot of us, we don't want to seem like we're difficult. Just in general, as students, you look at them and you say they're the ones who know, or maybe this is, you know, the gold standard of the education at this flight school. How would either of you go about maybe starting a conversation, what would you say?
I definitely got to like a point in my training when I was learning how to land that I was like
Oh, God.
incredibly frustrated. But on that note too, sometimes you're just not tall enough to see over the cowling. Try sitting on a pillow and see if that helps, because that fixed my landings within two lessons.
Use your trim.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's a really good point. Easy
It was just
fix.
so frustrating, and it was like something that I'd never thought of. I was just getting frustrated with my instructor, and I don't think she necessarily knew, but I ended up just having a conversation with her very honestly, and I was like, we're not making progress, and I'm frustrated about it. And we ended up having just like a really good conversation about talking about why I hadn't been making progress. And she was like, are you doing your reading, and are you staying on top of your extra stuff outside of here? Because we'll come back, and honestly, Jen, like, you had lost some stuff, and then we're having to recover it. And I felt like, to some extent, you don't want to think you're the problem, and sometimes you are the problem. And I felt like having that conversation with the CFI, who didn't necessarily place the blame on me, but was starting to put me more into that PIC kind of headspace that we've been talking about. Maybe I'm the one that's not ready, and it's not necessarily just the instructor. It's like calling me out on some of the stuff that I haven't been doing. So I thought that was like a really productive conversation. And we just made sure, like, we sat outside. It was like the middle of summer, but like we sat in a shady spot away from other instructors, away from other students. So it could be a private conversation and we could actually like get it out. But it wasn't like we were like leaving the airport to go somewhere, and it wasn't over text messages or phone calls where like you lose so much of like people's facial reactions and tone. So I really recommend those kind of conversations in person.
I think that's a good point. Definitely. That's something that you want to do in person. And if it becomes a situation where you don't feel safe, having someone either in the room or nearby in case things get weird would also be very important.
Yeah, pull in that flight school manager or flight school owner. Don't be afraid to be. And also, you could have that conversation with the flight school owner too and be like, I need your opinion on this. Am I wrong?
Right.
Most of the
Yeah.
time, they're going to be pretty honest with you, I feel like.
Another
Yeah.
thing that you could do, just as an idea, is you could book a lesson with another instructor. Maybe you've heard good things about, maybe you know nothing about them, but just book a lesson with another instructor and see how it goes with them. Maybe they have a different style, or maybe the thing that is bothering you consistently happens with them as well. And that might give you a better inkling of, is it just that this is how it works and I'm struggling and the responsibility is on me? Or is this something that is specific to my instructor only that might give you maybe just open up your experience a little bit
And who
and
knows, maybe the way they just explained it all of a sudden clicks. Because I know working with training people at my job as event tech, I sometimes struggle to think of outside the box ways to explain how to do a task. And if I can't do it, I pass them to someone else because I can't just keep shouting the same thing at you. We're not going to get anywhere. We're both going to end up frustrated. And maybe to see if I wasn't ready to just have that conversation with you, and you need to kind of kick yourself out of the nest into looking into a different CFI that all of a sudden they explain it to you, and it's like, oh my God, how could that have not just clicked?
The mark of a good instructor is somebody who is able to get you out of your own way. And the opposite would be somebody who's like zero responsibility, tries to put everything on you, is unsafe, is unreliable. Again, when you first start, you might not necessarily know this, but these will become more apparent the more that you fly. You'll begin to realize, like, oh, but also, I think having a group of people that you can talk to who are also pilots and maybe not flying with that instructor or not flying with that flight school is a huge help. Because if I were having a problem, I could say, Jen, this XYZ happened. Is it me? Or is this a normal thing? Or should I be worried? And it's not just you in like an echo chamber with people within the flight school or like you and your instructor back and forth, back and forth. So it's good to have like having an aviation family outside of your immediate training area in terms of like flight school and instructor is actually a really, really good resource for situations like this. So, and that's one of the reasons like social media, it's great for this because you can connect with people that you might not necessarily have connected with. A lot of airports now have a bunch of flight schools. So just maybe reaching out to somebody or like wandering over to the other flight school to see or hanging out at the FBO just to kind of get an aviation family that you can kind of be like, hey, am I losing my mind? What's going on here? To kind of as like a sounding board, I think would be really helpful too, before you escalate necessarily or unnecessarily, I should say, because maybe it was just a critique that was meant to help you improve your control of the airplane or your landings, and you just were having a bad day, you took it the wrong way. So you assumed that now your instructor hates you because they said this thing. So it's good to have somebody kind of talk you off the ledge when warranted, but also somebody to propel you forward should you need to actually take the next step and say, I cannot fly with this CFI anymore. In one
Also, your CFI is a human. They might just
yeah.
be having a bad day, or like the student before them really frustrated them. And maybe they just haven't been able to like offload that in between and it carried over a little bit and they're getting nitpicky with you. I know I had that conversation with one of my CFIs in the cockpit. I was like, hey, is this on me? Or all of a sudden he got in and was frustrated. And I was like, all right, we need to reevaluate because I don't think like we're 5 minutes in. We're still taxiing. Like, I don't think I've done anything this aggressive thus far.
Right. I remember seeing in one of the social media groups that we're in, a woman wrote in and she was really frustrated because she felt like her instructor was telling her that they had reviewed certain things she did not think that they had reviewed. And so he's telling her, we did this. We did this before. We did this. And she's going, no, we didn't. No, we didn't. They were just butting heads over that. Seems like something small, but she was really upset about it. She's like, it keeps happening. And I've had that experience too, where I'm like, I don't think we did this. And my instructor says, yeah, we did. So I don't know if something like that is happening to you, do things like write it down, show it to them, and say, is this what we went over today? It is. Great. And then the next lesson, if they go, "We already did that," you can say, "Well, really? Because I wrote down the notes and you looked at them and you said that that's all we covered. So if you're telling
Yeah.
me we did that," maybe they're just going, "Oh, I guess it was, the student before you on the same day," or something like that. So there are ways that you can manage these kind of little maybe communication conflicts without it being a huge deal. And now you have to change instructors. Maybe that is something you have to do, but there are strategies that you can employ, when things aren't really, when things are a little controversial.
On your note of writing it down, that was actually something I wanted to bring up, and I couldn't find the notebook. It's got to be like in one of my like old bags. I started taking lessons after my notes, or notes after my lessons.
Oh God, we're keeping
About the peak of the
it
lesson, what went wrong,
Yeah.
and what I
Oh,
could improve on.
that's a good idea.
And like, I was set. Like, I had my debrief with my instructor. We talked about it, and then I sat there for another 5, 10 minutes and just kind of journaled it down a little bit to be a little harsh on myself, to be like, we still aren't nailing the landings, but my radio calls were spot on today. And like, you got to
That's a good
reward
idea.
yourself. But I feel like that propelled my training so much because when it would be 2 or 3 weeks because of weather that I couldn't fly again, I could review that the day before and really brush up on. I should be going 85 at this point in the pattern, 75 at this point in the pattern, this set of flaps, remembering what I struggled with the last time. So taking notes and like keeping yourself accountable to make that time every time after your lesson really helps.
That's a good point, because I have written in like the notes section in my logbook, and I was looking to see if I had it, and there's like a comment or a note section, and it's not huge, but that's where we've kind of written like what we worked on, so you're able to kind of go back and see. But also, your flight school in theory has the ability to keep track of that, and if they're a 141 program, odds are they are keeping track and they know what you're working on every single lesson. If it's a 61 program, it kind of ends up kind of falling on you to keep track.
My
But if
instructor wrote
that's,
in my logbook every
yeah, we
mine too.
I wrote it in, Craig signed off on it, all of them, whenever I flew with anybody. That's even if it was by myself, like I have notes about like brought drawn to drop off the airplane to get painted, that kind of stuff. So I know what I did every single flight so that I can kind of go back and say, this is what I'm doing. But for a Part 61, they might not necessarily have a curriculum that they follow because they don't technically need to have one outside of having like the ACS stuff. So having a conversation with your instructor at the beginning about your managing your expectations in terms of like what you want to work on and how you're going to keep track of it is definitely a good idea.
So, worst case scenario, you've tried everything. You've taken notes, you've tried to have a candid conversation, you have an open mind, you've taken responsibility. Worst comes to worst, things are not clicking. You can't imagine flying, continuing to fly with this instructor. What do you do?
I would go probably to either the head CFI, if there is one, or the flight school owner, depending on how things are structured. And I would make it a very candid conversation like, hey, one, I am paying money for this. Either I'm not satisfied or we're not getting along or whatever, insert reason here, but I think I would like to change to a different instructor. And most schools, if they are any good, will say, no problem. Let's see who we can put you with. Be aware that you might have availability issues depending on how big your school is and how big your fleet is and all that. But 100% go to whoever's in charge of that kind of stuff. And you can be as detailed or as, vague as you want to be. You can just simply go in and say, hey, can I fly with so and so? Because I just want to see if maybe they're going to work better or it's a different plane or the availability, whatever. However you need to do it, go talk to whoever's in charge. And don't feel bad about it. It is one, your money, your time, and it could potentially be your safety that is on the line. So 100% do it.
I definitely agree with what Rachel said. Feel free to switch instructors. And I know from my own personal experience on this, you have to hold yourself accountable for some stuff too. There's a good
Definitely.
chance that you're not making progress because you're not doing the background. And maybe you didn't come prepared for your lesson today. You're like, oh, like, do I really need to brush up on this? And then you spend the whole lesson just frustrated with your instructor. And you didn't do the prep work. So I think you also have to hold yourself accountable in this whole thing is like,
Definitely.
maybe we're not getting along, but also maybe I need to change the way I'm approaching this.
Really good points. Yeah. If you're listening out there and you have a question on maybe how to do it, or if you had a successful experience where you had some controversy and you were able to either resolve it by having a conversation or doing something else and you kept the same instructor or you successfully changed to a new instructor, we would love to hear about that.
Oh,
So you
definitely.
can feel free to write into us at podchat@agirlseyeview.com. You could give us a rating on our podcast. And if you leave a review, we would love to shout you out during our flight deck feedback. Until then, we hope that you enjoyed this episode. And until our next episode, we hope that you have a good time looking at things from a girl's eye view.
As a reminder, the views and opinions shared during this podcast are those of the hosts alone. We do not represent the views of the FAA, our flight schools, or our employers. This podcast is purely for entertainment. We are not qualified flight instructors. We are just here to share our experiences.